Hey everybody, this is Coach Gordon, beautiful Victoria, BC, Canada, and this is my podcast on becoming your best self, where I discuss things like health, fitness, life, and business. And today's episode is just going to be on what I've been going through for, I had an injury, so I'm going to talk about what it's like for me to have an injury, and what it's like to not do anything for a little while. So just quick summary on my injury. I hurt my rib. My rib's bruised or cracked or out of place or not feeling good, and lots of the tissues around it are totally pissed off. So if you've ever done had an injury like around your ribs, around your lungs, stuff that doesn't allow you to breathe, cough, and doesn't allow you to just generally move, it can be a massive pain in the fucking ass. For me, it really makes a huge difference in my life and the way that I interact with everything around me, because I really do enjoy playing and moving and lifting and doing all sorts of things that just involve my body and its physicality, and getting hurt really sucks because it messes with everything that I do. When I get hurt and I don't have the physical activity, my diet has to change, and I'm not good at making those quick switches over to a new lifestyle. Essentially is what it is for me. I probably log about 10 to 12 hours, maybe even 15 hours a week of some sort of physical activity. So to erase that, it's almost like a getting rid of a part-time job that you're really passionate about. So for me, it really messes with everything. And what I noticed over the 2 weeks is how bad I felt. It was horrible. I'm a wreck when I don't get to exercise, and not only am I like mentally a little bit of a wreck, but physically my body feels horrible, like absolute dirt. I honestly don't know how anybody can exist without moving. The feeling of non-movement comparison to moving every day and taking care of my body and treating it really well is insane. It's night and day. They're opposite things. If it could be more opposite than night and day or up and down, it would be. It should be. I should be able to describe it in that way. It completely changes the entire landscape of my last 2 weeks. I literally have no idea what I can do with myself other than like read and make more Instagram posts and work more, obviously. But yeah, that lack of energy, that movement brings me a lot of energy, and I think that's important to know, is that I've been exercising and playing sports for an extended period of time, to the point where my body's used to doing those things, and it loves it and accepts it and adopts those sorts of things all the time. I really like going and just being able to jump into something, and my body responds, and it enjoys it, and it makes me feel really good, because that's what I excel at. I would go as far to say is like movement is a talent of mine, and it's totally something that can be developed. Just general movement can absolutely become a talent or a strength. But yeah, it kind of leaves me stuck when I'm unable to use my body. It puts me into a really bad mood. It changes up all of the things that I do in my life, and I really do like to compete as well. Like if I don't have something to compete at, I just feel lost. And I think that's the right word for it, is I feel lost when I'm unable to move. I feel lost in my body. I feel lost in my job. I feel lost in my work, and I feel lost in my thoughts. And certain types of exercise definitely help me focus and help me feel full, help me fill out my body and feel like it actually like matches my mind, and that I am in control of it, and that it works for me and that I don't work for it. But taking a little bit of time off, obviously, kind of reverses those roles. And it goes, oh, no, you actually work for your body. instead of it working for you in times of injury. And so I kind of wanted to use that to, I guess, draw some comparisons. If I had somebody here with me, I'd ask questions about how they survive without moving, or how they survive without exercise, or how they feel good on a regular basis. Because I know if my body doesn't feel good, my mind doesn't feel good either. I wonder if it's possible for you guys or anybody that's listening that you get it to go the other way, where if you feel really good in your mind, your body also feels good. I don't think it goes the other way. I think by using your brain, it's actually shutting off some other systems. You obviously get very good at using your brain, and acquiring new knowledge opens new pathways and new connections, and allows you to learn better, and allows you to learn easier. But so does your physical activity. It allows you to do those exact same things as well. So if you're somebody who's very cerebral, somebody who likes to read, likes to learn, likes to study, I love those things too. I just find it easier when I'm exercising, or when I have a focus or a competition. So I'm gonna challenge you guys, if that's something that you haven't really explored yet, if you haven't explored being physical to control your mind, or being physical to master your mind, or being physical to just improve your mind and improve your body at the same time. Think about those things. You know, I do. I think about those things all the time. When I'm unable to move, it's like, what the heck am I doing? Why can't I learn this? Why can't I get started? Why can't I get motivated? Why can't I just move and do the next thing? And a lot of the times, because that physical aspect is totally missing. And no matter what body you're in, or what situation you're in, or what your body looks like or feels like or moves like right now, by moving it, it's definitely going to get better. It's definitely going to get stronger. It's going to feel amazing. And that's the bit that I really want to highlight for you guys, is how much you feel good when you do something physical, and how often you should do it. I really think it's important to do something every day, whether that's 10 push-ups and 30 minutes of stretching, or a 10-minute run and 5 minutes of stretching. Or maybe you go for an hour run and do 5 minutes of stretching. You notice I'm putting stretching in there often. It's really important for anybody who's new to exercise too. When you're breaking down your muscles, that they recover and that they heal with a really good range of motion. Not that they're healing and getting shorter, because that's going to lead to more stiffness, and it's going to lead to slower. That's going to lead to slower recovery, and it's going to lead to less enjoyment of your exercise in the first place. And that's really the whole point, is to find a bunch of stuff that you enjoy doing, things that make you feel good, things that make you think, and get you out of your normal thought patterns. And that's really what boxing is for me, is I have to be so focused on my task at hand. For every jab, for every step, for my body position, for my breath, what punch am I going to throw, what combination, I need to be thinking and moving and be utilizing 100% of my cerebral abilities, so that I become a better boxer, a faster boxer. And every single second is me putting effort, and me putting focus, and me putting my physical self on the line, so that I can learn new things. And I think that's what I really enjoyed about boxing, is that you go really hard for like 2 to 3 minutes. I'm doing two to 2.5 minutes right now, mostly. And then you get a minute to think about it. You're obviously bagged at the end of those two rounds, but you get to recover. You get to think about what you did. If you've got a coach on your side, you get to talk with your coach for probably 45 seconds as you recover your breath. But that's an incredible learning experience to be able to go and do something for 2 or 3 minutes and then get some coaching in 2 or 3 minutes and get some coaching in 2 or 3 minutes and get some coaching. And that's a lot of what I do at the gym with people is I introduce them to an exercise and I give them a couple tips and I give them sort of the blueprint to do these movements so that they can begin to do some of them on their own, and then I allow them to practice and move without much supervision, without being a Hawkeye, I guess. And then at the end of a set, we go and we do that coaching moment where I tell them what went well and what didn't go well with their lift, or what can be improved upon, and ask them what they were thinking about during that time. Now, I don't always have a whole minute to talk with people. Sometimes it's a 10 second, like, oh, this could be better, or well done, that was amazing. But that sort of thing is really important to be able to receive the feedback so that you know that you're doing it right and that you know that you're doing it well. And then it can become engaging for your mind because it gives you something to think about. It gives you something to focus on rather than, maybe being there and being nervous or being unsure of the movement. If I tell somebody to squeeze their lats or to pinch their elbows into their sides as hard as they can, it's going to be very challenging for them to think about too many other things at the same time. And the whole point of that is so that they aren't thinking. They don't have time to think about too many things outside of what's going on. So a session is supposed to look like a bit of warm-up. That's a bit of time to chat with your trainer, let them know how your body's doing, let them know if anything's off, and let them know that you're feeling amazing and you just need a kick-ass workout today. And then you get into it. You start lifting, you start going heavy, you start going hard, do a little bit of conditioning towards the end, and lots of interaction with your coach where you're constantly learning. And by the time you're done, you've had a bit of a whirlwind of physical and mental exercise. And I don't know anything else that you can do that affects your brain and your body so much and gets them on the same page. My God, when the body and the brain are working together and doing the right things and they understand what it's for and you kind of let go of that, and when you let go of that mental self-talk that something's hard or that you can't do it, and you just embrace that it's challenging and you enjoy the challenge of it and you enjoy the burn or you enjoy the temporary soreness that comes along with it. It's an uncomfortableness, and being uncomfortable is amazing because when you're uncomfortable, you grow, and when you're uncomfortable, you change, and when you're uncomfortable, you work through things so that you get the growth that's associated with doing harder things. And it's good to be there. It's great to be in discomfort. I think that's a huge part of starting fitness is the entire process is uncomfortable. There's no way around it. It's going to be sore. It's going to suck a bunch. But the long-term gains that you get from it are incredible. And so much so that when I do stop exercising, my body and my brain go back to feeling like shit. As if I didn't move the whole day. I know what it feels like not to move all day and not to use my brain properly and not to feel like I'm challenging myself, and that feels like a horrible place to be, and I don't know how other people deal with that. I really don't. I can only imagine that and know from the clients that I've trained that when they do start moving their body, they start becoming better in other areas too that have nothing to do with fitness because they're being stimulated in a new way. They're finding new ways to connect their brain to their body, and they're finding new ways of movement, and they're finding new levels of discomfort that they can be okay with, and they're absorbing tons of knowledge. I think that's one of the most important things is that fitness be looked at as a course, as an education. Movement as an education is really important, because it's not something that you just necessarily can do. You know, you can go for a walk, and you can do some gentle stretches, and you can do some very like basic things like hiking and walking and jogging and doing some light lifting. But for those real results, for to find those moments of discomfort, if you haven't been put into any of these like uncomfortable situations, challenging positions for your body to hold, or even a knowledge of your basic anatomy and how it's supposed to work, it can be extremely difficult for people to try and find any sort of results or that escape from the present moment. The escape from the future or the past or the negative self-talk. What we want to be focused on is learning the whole time, even amongst the discomfort. That's the thing that really expands the mind and helps the body feel amazing by the time it's done a session. You want to trick the body. You want to trick the mind into doing more work than it's really supposed to. And that's actually what breaks you down. And that's good. That's a good way of breaking your body and your mind down, because you only want to do it so much that you can recover from it in the next 2 days. And that growth that you get in that time, in that recovery, that's where you gain more energy. And that's where you gain more strength. And that's where you gain more capability of using your brain and better ability to activate your muscles and to deal with discomfort. It doesn't come from being complacent and just showing up. It comes from doing your best. It comes from getting in there, being prepared, knowing what's gonna happen generally, but being prepared for anything, and always being prepared to put your best effort in. If I haven't said it enough, I don't think I ever will. It's move your body, because if you haven't, and you don't, or you don't regularly, and you haven't felt what it's like to do it on a daily basis, it'll change your life. It really will. And you'll notice it. You'll notice it right away. And you'll notice that when it becomes comfortable and routine, and you're not in that world of suck, you'll learn. you'll learn, and you'll get to a place where you're just like, this is it. This is what it's supposed to be like for my brain to work properly, for my body to feel good, so that I can go to work, so that I can hang out with my friends, so that I can go and have a beer on the weekend, so that I can play sports, so that I can have healthy relationships, so that I can communicate well with others, so that I can have an awesome, happy life. And that's what I'm looking for. And that's what I look forward to. And that's something that just builds, right? And you lose it, and you get it back, and you lose it, and you get it back, and you fight, and you struggle, and you enjoy the process. I guarantee you'll enjoy the process more if you learn to move your body properly, and if you learn to enjoy moving your body, and learn to enjoy the discomfort. Thanks for listening, everybody. Hey guys, I'm Coach Gord. And let's talk about the New Year's resolutions you just made, why they're so awesome, and why they're going to fail.
Oh my goodness.
Starting off early with a bit of negativity, that's okay. We're going to turn that around and make it into a positive story here. So first off, the reason that these resolutions are going to fail is because you started on them already. Yes, listen to that again. You started on your New Year's resolutions already. You figured out something that you wanted to do, something that you are hopeful for, something that you do want to have happen to yourself, but you didn't take enough time to plan out how you were actually going to do it. And in a lot of cases, you don't have any business planning any of these things. You probably need some help with them.
if you're like most other people, you do have hopes and you do have dreams, but you just lack some of the skills around what you need to be able to do. Maybe your goal is to produce better skills. Maybe your first New Year's resolution needs to be understanding how to create goals. Let's make that a New Year's resolution. How to create goals. My New Year's resolution is to become better at goal setting so that I can achieve the things that I actually want to do. Let's start there. Okay, how do we actually become better at goal setting? I think the first thing to do is what you've already done. You're correct. You've come up with a dream. You've come up with a resolution. You've come up with an idea that it's something that you really, really do want to do for yourself and for your life. And that's a great thing to do. But the second step is creating a plan that's actually going to succeed. And to do that, you need to understand two things. You need to understand yourself, and you need to understand human behavior. So first, understanding yourself. That may not be the easiest thing for you to do, but knowing where your strengths and your weaknesses are, that will help you start to set your goals. The second thing is knowing how to create great goals. It's going to depend on if you're able to break down these big goals into smaller segments. And not only do they need to be broken down into smaller segments, they need to start off super small so that you can get the feeling of accomplishment and success and reward really early on. That's why a lot of the things that we do in our life that are bad for us give us good feelings, like drinking a beer or eating candy or having a meal. We get the feeling of success or reward instantly, right? So we crave something, we have it, and we get a win. Whether that thing is good for us or bad for us, the feeling is still the same. So what we want to do is create that same situation in our lives, but for something that works us towards the goal. So if your goal is to get in shape and lose 50 pounds over the course of this next year, we need to realize that your first goal should not be to lose 1 pound. It should definitely not be to lose 10 pounds in the first month. Your first goal should be to create space so that you can spend time stretching each day, whether that be for 5 minutes or 25 minutes. But let's put a little bit of a cap on how much time and energy this type of thing actually needs at the beginning. We need to also respect how much time and energy your life actually takes. If you're the type of person who struggled to accomplish new tasks and learn new skills or accomplish large goals, then that's probably because the goal setting part of this hasn't really been good, or maybe you don't actually respect the things that you do. If you're the type of person that says, I should do more, I should do better, I should be like this, I should be like that, just stop. You don't need to do that. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, what you do right now is enough, and it's where you're at. So that's a big part of knowing yourself, is just to be able to say, I am where I am, where I'm at. I am who I am. But I would like to figure out how to get better. I would like to figure out how to be a little bit more. And that's not wrong. That's totally okay. That's a very normal thing to do, and that's a great thing to do for yourself. We just need to be able to respect your own time during the day. So we need to make smaller things, smaller successes that you can have every single day. Start off with something like taking a walk before you go to work. Maybe it's just eating breakfast. We want to make some sort of small improvement, and even eating breakfast might be something very big for you. Maybe you just need to have a glass of water in the morning instead of a cup of coffee. The benefits that will have for you are so much greater than you think they are, including the benefit of giving yourself an awesome success. And that's the basics of goal setting. We need really small attainable things day to day, and we need to put our big overreaching goals away and stop looking at them. We need to respect our own time, and we need to respect the things that we do, and we also need to respect the difficulty of the thing that we're about to take on, and stop comparing ourselves both to others and comparing yourself to where you think you should be. Thanks for listening.